This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
Good morning to you. I hope that you enjoyed your weekend, last weekend before the holiday season officially kicks off. Oh, did someone say kickoff? We got plenty of that. In fact, we've got a kickoff return for a touchdown that we haven't even gotten to yet. It is our goal on every single one of these Sunday night shows to hit every game on the Sunday slate at least once. So we're getting there. Sometimes we're cramming them in at the end of this hour, so I don't want to take the scenic route now. I want to jump right into it again. But I will say that we spent a little more time on the critical games, the games that are jaw droppers or eye poppers or have major implications. And gosh, the way the AFC and the NFC are right now, it seems like every game is that way because no one is really out of it except for the Texans. And yet what we saw on Sunday Night Football was so, I think to me was significant because of the teams and because of the outcome. We're going to get to a little more Sunday Night Football. Also, we still have to talk Falcons, who are trying to reel in the Buccaneers atop the NFC South. We're going to get back to a little bit of that Eagles and Colts game. There are ties there that you may not remember. And we still have to talk about the Super Bowl champions who are going the wrong way. Plus, Justin Fields, another huge game for him individually, and yet it comes in a loss. So we have a lot to cram in. Ready, break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Omaha! We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Before you ask, no, Eli and Peyton are not hosting their show on this Monday night, which is a bummer, though there is Monday Night Football, and if you don't catch Team USA making its World Cup debut, first time in 8 years, it's been a long 8 years, the U.S. men's national team is, in fact, starting its World Cup venture with a game at 2 o'clock Eastern time. So it's 10 o'clock in Qatar. They're taking on the nation of Wales. Don't want to mess around, or they could start out behind the eight ball. But this is the beginning of group play. So if we have time, we'll get to Greg Berhalter, the manager, before we hit the top of the hour. But there's a lot of football on this Monday. So no Peyton and Eli, but that replay, I don't know how you avoid the results, but if you wanted to, Team USA versus Wales is actually going to re-air at the same time as Monday Night Football. So you'll have plenty still with the clicker. Sunday Night Football, it was exactly how the NFL envisioned the AFC West. Hasn't worked out that way, right? If you look at the standings, there's a major disparity between the Chiefs and the other three teams. Not for lack of trying on the part of the Chargers, but they just can't figure out the Chiefs. You know those old formulas, those old math problems that we used to use when we were in school? My mom's a math teacher, so I've seen it maybe more than others. The Chiefs are to the Chargers what the Patriots are to the Jets. At least right now. That should tell you what you need to know. But it doesn't mean the game wasn't highly entertaining. Oh, man, this was one heck of a watch if you were up paying attention to Sunday Night Football in Los Angeles.
Carter goes in motion left to right. Fakes the handoff to Eckler. Herbert rolls to his right. Now throws to his left. Has wide open. Josh Palmer caught. Touchdown! Chargers! 50 yards. Herbert to Palmer.
First down and goal to go at the 4-yard line, trailing by four. Snap to Mahomes. Quick throw. Near side, it goes to Kelce. Bounces off the hit. Comes on the angle and trots into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kelce on the tight end screen wide. And a 4-yard touchdown gives the Chiefs the advantage early in the second quarter.
It's a short gun formation, 3:35 to play here in the first half. He takes the snap, hands it off to Eckler, who goes up the middle, moves the pile toward the goal line. He got in. Touchdown, Chargers. He slams the football down, and flags come flying in late. And the Chargers take a three-point lead with 3:31 to play in the first half.
Yeah, it was dynamic. It was a lot of back and forth in that first half. And honestly, I thought we saw the best of the Chargers on that particular drive, capped by the Austin Eckler TD, 7 minutes and 3 seconds with the football. They had the football a long time. And you know what can't happen if you have the football for 7 minutes? That's a full seven-plus minutes without Patrick Mahomes ever touching the football. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, these are the Chiefs. And even without Arrowhead Stadium, the power of Arrowhead Stadium behind them, they have so many options. It's kind of this weird sequence, actually, in the fourth quarter where both teams fumbled. So it's kind of like, oh, hey, there's the Chargers that we know and love when they had their fumble in the fourth quarter. Only to see the Chiefs turn around and fumble right after that. And so this was a good back and forth. Chargers still had a 27-23 lead. Midway through that fourth quarter, they put together another extended drive and they get into the end zone because they're able to use all their different weapons. Keenan Allen back. Mike Williams was only out for a little bit before he got hurt again. But Josh Palmer with a couple of touchdowns. Matt Smith on Chargers radio. And so, yeah, they're able to work the ball around to various weapons, even though it's been kind of a revolving door for Justin Herbert. But we know a minute and 46 seconds, that's a lot of time for Patrick Mahomes. It's a lot of time for the Chiefs. How many times have we seen them in this situation to the point where now it's just old hat? Six plays, 75 yards, Patrick Mahomes scrambles 16 yards, and oh, he looks for his BFF when he needs a play.
Ball was snapped on the near hash. Chiefs load up three to the left side. Mahomes crossing pattern, caught Kelce, 10-yard line, 5-yard line, touchdown! Kansas City! Will Kelce do it to the Chargers again on a crossing pattern? A touchdown, and now Travis Kelce, a 17-yard touchdown reception to take the lead, plus his 33rd 100-yard receiving game of his career. The most by a tight end in National Football League history.
We knew we had a lot of time on the clock. We knew we had some timeouts, so we didn't rush. We just kind of went through what we do every single day at practice and everything like that. And we executed. And I thought, it was Travis. He makes, he's the greatest tight end of all time. He makes plays like that that win games. When I went in the huddle, everybody was just like, let's just do it. But there was no, like, doubt that we were going to go down there and score. There was no doubt that we were going to make it happen.
I'm an older dog, man. Throughout my years, I just learned from situations that I've been through on the football field, situations that I've, you know, seen on the football field, and I just keep accumulating all that data and just put it in this computer up here and hope that I can use it to my advantage when the time's needed, man. And that's kind of where I'm at with it at that.
Their chemistry is ridiculous. You know, coming into this game that they had a plan for Kels, and you know, we were able to, or he was able to work, he and Pat were able to work through it and made some nice things happen.
Did you catch what Andy Reid said? They had a plan. Again, that just underscores what the two of these guys can do together. You may remember going back to the 13 seconds against Buffalo in the divisional matchup last year, the playoffs, that after the fact, Mahomes talked about he and Kelce and their communication and what Kelce had said to him. And how they had the play. They knew what they were going to do when they broke the huddle. And it was a private sidebar between Mahomes and Kelce. As I was watching them, three touchdown passes by Mahomes in this game, all to Kelce. I was thinking, is there a more productive, more talented, more in sync combo than Mahomes and Kelsey right now in all of sports. And so put that up. I'm going to retweet it here on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear your thoughts. And I mean, current. We could come up with a bazillion productive duos if we go back in history. But right now, who is more talented, productive, and is more in that mode where you don't even need to talk? It's nonverbal communication. Their chemistry, as Andy Reid says, is ridiculous. And so you can find that on Twitter or on Facebook. Some of you are coming up with your own answers. I do like the answer of Steph and Klay because they have four rings between them. Even though Klay was out for a couple of years, he played a major role in last year's title run. And you want to talk about stats off the charts. Travis Kelce now has more 100-yard receiving games than any tight end in history, and he's going to keep climbing the charts. But it wasn't just about the offense on Sunday Night Football. It was also about that defense.
She's still playing pressure on the receivers with two deep safeties. Herbert's in trouble again. He will unload it down the middle. It's going to be deflected and intercepted. Intercepted at the 42-yard line. Yes, Nick Bolton. Why not, Nick Bolton? He's playing at an all-pro level. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do it again to the Chargers.
Fantastic calls from Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Yes, it's a Bolton interception. I think may have been bopped up in the air and tipped more than once, actually.
Yeah, it's Nick Bolton!
The Sunday Night Football game is being replayed on NFL Network as we speak. As for the Chargers, and we spoke with Eric Smith of Chargers.com. He was there at SoFi, and he spoke to a lot of these guys in the locker room afterwards. He said this one was painful. This one really hurt. They were very frustrated. They were very disappointed. And head coach Brandon Staley echoed that.
Well, you should be frustrated. We just lost to a good team at home. We had the lead. Weren't able to close it out. You know, that's an outstanding team that we played. And to not beat those guys, it's disappointing because we felt like our level was good enough to win. But we didn't finish plays in that fourth quarter to get it done. But like that group in there's got a lot of pride. You know, we've played two really tough ones in a row against two fantastic teams, and now we got to get our rest and we got to get move on. We got to go to Thanksgiving, and we got to get ready for the Cardinals.
Brandon Staley's Chargers fall back to 500, and yeah, back-to-back losses against the Niners and now the Chiefs. And granted, they're both really strong teams and have playoff designs. In fact, have Super Bowl designs. But ultimately, you are what your record says you are. And in the AFC West right now, the Chiefs have a 3-game lead. How did that happen? I was sure that the Chiefs were no longer the best team in the AFC West, according to so many experts, so many prognosticators and analysts. Yeah, the Chiefs still have a core. Again, similar to the Golden State Warriors, the analogy works so well. They're now 8-2, best record in the AFC, tied for second most wins in the league, behind only the Eagles. Don't underestimate this team, because there is not a pressure cooker or pressure pack situation they haven't seen. They haven't succeeded in every single one of them since Patrick Mahomes came on the scene, but they are not flummoxed. They've got confidence out the wazoo.
And Mahomes magic.
Chemistry out the wazoo as well. And it's been a bit of a revolving door for the Chiefs at receiver, too. Think about it. Kadarius Toney not available yesterday. They've had guys on and off the field. Kelce is the constant. As for the Chargers, they're close. I thought we saw them grow up a little bit. In fact, I was thinking if they could have protected the lead or even come back after they were able to, or after Mahomes went to Kelce for a third time, it could have been a huge stepping stone for them. What they need is a couple of these wins to build confidence. They're close. I like what Brandon Staley has done with the Chargers. They've had a ton of injuries. Everybody knows that. But they do have the right leadership, and they're on the right track. So it's not all bad.
Every game in the NFL is tough, you know, and you put everything you have into it, especially that week of practice, that preparation. And so you lay everything out there. And so I'm really proud of the way that everyone battled today. It didn't go our way, unfortunately. But, you know, we're going to ride with our offense, defense, special teams, and we're going to get better. We're going to keep, doing everything we can at practice in the film room, in the weight room. But it wasn't good enough today.
So Justin Herbert gets sacked 5 times. This is part of what the Chiefs do well. They're not going to blow you away with their numbers on defense, but they do make a lot of big plays. 5 sacks of Herbert, 10 QB hits, and he got Keenan Allen back. So Keenan nearly had 100 yards, had a couple of big catches, but Mike Williams wasn't on the field the entire time. So on and off.
It's part of the NFL. Injuries are, you know, common in the NFL, and you have to battle through them, and it's adversity that you have to deal with. And, you know, Mike is about as tough as it gets, and Keenan too, and they're special competitors. So anytime you get those guys out on the field, something good's going to happen. But unfortunately, it didn't go our way today.
So Justin Herbert and the Chargers fall back to 5-5. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are flexing their muscles. They are 8-2. And I'm asking you about better duos in pro sports right now than Kelce and Mahomes. And I like this answer from Byron. First time I've heard it on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews. Yes, that is a great answer. As a matter of fact, Mark Andrews returned to the field yesterday afternoon against the Carolina Panthers. And to have, Lamar Jackson went back to Mark Andrews. I just want to make sure my brain's got a lot in it. Okay, combination was back on the field for the Baltimore Ravens to the tune of 6 catches and 63 yards.
You know, it's self-explanatory. That's my guy. You know, been my guy since 2018. So yeah, it felt great to have him back. As always.
Good answer, Byron. Thank you so much for that. And if you got another one, you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook because they're like the old married couples in sports. They know each other so well that they finish each other's sentences. I love that. I love that quality. Like a pair of slippers that's broken in. Your favorite pair of sweatpants. That's what Mahomes and Kelce have going. And it's really a product of time and experience. It's a product of thousands and thousands and thousands of reps. Just in practice, over and over, but also in the games. They had a plan and they executed it, said Andy Reid. All right, coming up, man, this game between the Vikings and the Cowboys didn't go the way CBS expected, I'll tell you that much, because by the third quarter, they cut away. Why do I keep saying it? I'll explain why this version of the Dallas Cowboys could challenge for a Super Bowl ring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on a Monday morning here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details.
Get fast internet now with the Xfinity Supersonic Bundle. It's unlimited gig internet, a free streaming box, and one line of unlimited mobile. Go to xfinity.com/gig, visit a store, or call 1-800-XFINITY to learn more. Limited time offer, new gigabit internet customers only. Other restrictions apply.
Best.
Prescott in the gun, back looking, standing. Hurry up, throw in the right flat, caught. Elliott, Pollard, 25, 20 on the right sideline. Pollard streaks in. Touchdown, Tony Pollard. Prescott under center from the one. They'll give it to Zeke. Left side, crashing at the goal line, pounding it in. Touchdown, Elliott. Prescott in the gun, back looking, standing. Hurry up, throw in the right flat, caught. Elliott, Pollard, 25, 20 on the right sideline. Pollard streaks in. Touchdown, Tony Pollard.
after last week, I had a good week of prep and just wanted to come in and set the standard and the expectation that I've talked about, that we have for ourselves. And just as you said, just being able to go and get points on the first seven drives, honestly, was just staying in the moment as all the guys were, and honestly couldn't have told you that.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Dallas scored on its first seven possessions of this game in Minneapolis. It was really the powerful tandem of Ezekiel Elliott on the ground, Tony Pollard through the air. He had a couple of touchdown catches from Dak Prescott. You had CeeDee Lamb toe drag swag at the end of the first half. Brett Maher, not one, but two 60-yard field goals to prove himself just because the second one was actually better. And then on into the third quarter it went. Healthy dose of Zeke, a healthier dose of Tony Pollard, Zach really efficient, and the Dallas defense stifling. This version of the Cowboys can compete for a Super Bowl. I don't know if they will, but if they play this ball control game and they've got guys who are healthy and the weapons that they have and Dak is on point and the defense is as smothering as it is, you want to talk about relentless pressure on one Kirk Cousins. He barely had time to think, much less time to find a place to throw the football. He was running for his life, chucking the ball all over the place. He might as well have been out there without a shirt on and his big old bling. This was so bad that CBS cut away from the broadcast before the third quarter was even done. And you know how much they love the Cowboys on CBS and on Fox, actually. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, they really wanted to come back from that Packers overtime loss, feeling as though they'd let one get away because they had the 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. So it's the 1-2 punch. It's the offense, which we don't always see in this groove, but when we do, it's dynamic. And it's the defense. Micah Parsons, a couple of sacks and five hits, but a couple more notes that I think are so impressive. The defense gave up just 183 yards. Do you know that Tony Pollard had more than 183 yards himself? Between his running and his receiving, he had 189 yards. That's more than the entire Vikings offense amassed together, which is a credit to that defense.
It just says that, you know, we're capable of what we put our mind to. People want to come out and run the ball, but we got to buckle up and understand what they want to do. People want to come up and pass. We got to set the quarterback and get stops and do what we do best.
And so seven total sacks of Kirk Cousins. As I say, he was under siege. Parsons with a pair of them. He barely had over 100 yards passing Cousins. He was too busy trying to preserve his life and limb. With self-preservation out there for Kirk Cousins. Final score, well, it was 40-3. They didn't even have to do the scoring in the fourth quarter to make this so lopsided. Cowboys moved to 7-3. Vikings dropped to 8-2, though still very firmly in control of the NFC North. It's After Hours on Facebook. We're asking you to pick the team that is most miserable and mortified and morbid on Monday. And yes, the Minnesota Vikings that were humiliated and embarrassed on their own field in front of all of their fans. Their fans were so hyped up and lit at to start this game that I thought it would give them an edge, but it really didn't. The Cowboys quieted them quickly. So the Minnesota Vikings are in the poll, as are the New York Giants. Why? Well, because this was another matchup of NFC East and NFC North, and it turned out to be a showcase for one Jamal Williams, who was able to really do anything he wanted. And he got help. The Giants turned the ball over a ton. They didn't take care of the football, and that's on them. But man, when Jamal Williams had the ball, he was gone.
Goff up under center, single back Jamal Williams. Goff takes, gives to Jamal, left side, finds a crease, head down, into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. Goff takes, hands to Jamal, fighting off tacklers, diving, did he get in? Yes, sir, he did! Touchdown Detroit Lions! And a big spike with a left hand from Jamal Williams, his second rushing touchdown of the day, and the Lions extend their lead. Goff up under center. He turns, gives Jamal Williams, bounces it outside right into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Number three on the day for Jamal.
Came out, was playing tremendous, and I think that right there was another reason why we was getting loose too. So
we just wanted to play complimentary football to help defense, help the offense help the defense. So I feel like we was doing that. We not done yet. So not satisfied. Grateful for 3 wins, but we still got a lot more. Now we know what winning looks like, what it looks like on a consistent basis, and now we just got to keep it going and make it a standard here.
Jamal Williams, 3 touchdowns, and the Lions took advantage of 3 takeaways by the defense. So it was in concert. It was both the offense and the defense, and that's what I was talking about with the Dallas Cowboys. And while we're talking threes are wild. First 3-game win streak for the Detroit Lions in 5 years, since November of 2017.
In. Everything we talked about, we stayed the course, which you guys have done, man. And we're playing some pretty clean, physical football, man. Yeah. Defense, you come to life. Win takeaways, offense, man. We dominated when we needed to. We dominated the ground game, man. We made the throws we had to. We were efficient. That's the way to win, man. Now you're figuring it out. Yep. Now we're figuring it out. That's 3.
Yes, sir.
Everything will be mental. And we go for 4 against a really good opponent. Yeah. That's outstanding, gentlemen. Yeah. You earned it, man. Yeah.
I am so happy for Dan Campbell. So happy for the Lions. They have such energy. They work so hard. They actually believe that they can turn this thing around.
Who says we can't get flexed?
Exactly. He told us during Hard Knocks that he promises he's not a lunatic, but I actually think he should embrace his inner and outer lunatic. From Lions YouTube, that's their celebration inside the locker room. Yeah, this was total team effort for the Lions as they pick up their 3rd win. Now they're only 4-6, but get this, 2nd place in the NFC North behind the Minnesota Vikings, who took a step back, but not that big of a step back. All right. We talked about the Cowboys. We talked about the Giants. Both those teams are 7-3, still looking up at the Philadelphia Eagles. But I tell you what, this one was dicey for a while with Philadelphia. The Colts came to play. I give them credit for the energy that they're showing and the maturity of Matt Ryan. He's not turning the ball over. In fact, that was the problem for the Eagles. Again, early, they fall behind the Colts, a Jonathan Taylor touchdown, and then they start fumbling the ball. And so Indy is still leading when the Eagles get the ball back with under 5 minutes to go. They start this final drive, and they are heavy on the rush. In fact, the last 9 snaps of this drive are all rushes, including a 4th-and-2 conversion, and it set up Jalen Hurts inside the red zone.
3 receivers right, 2 left. Hurts takes it, starts to run. He's got the first down! He's got the first down at the 6. Game on the line. Hurts in the gun. Hurts takes the snap. He's back. He's going to run. He's in! Touchdown! Jalen Hurts! Jalen Hurts on a quarterback draw scores, and the Eagles can take the lead with the extra point.
They do that, in fact, and with 80 seconds to go, they get their nose in front of Indianapolis, and the Colts' final drive was really nothing. So Jalen has under 200 yards passing. It wasn't easy in this one, but he does go for nearly 90 yards rushing, and honestly, as you hear with Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network, they saved the best for last. The Philly defense had 4 sacks of Matt Ryan. They also had 1 takeaway from the Colts, and we're seeing this pattern, right? The best teams use both the offense and the defense. And Brandon Graham says our entire goal on defense is to get it back to our QB.
We just want to make sure we put them in the best position we can as a defense. We know what we did coming out the gate. We gave up 50 yards right off the rip. But I felt like we buckled up, we adjusted, we seen how they were trying to hit us. And, you know, great adjustments by JG.
Perfection is something that will never be caught. But why not chase it? Why not chase the standard? Why not chase that golden standard of doing stuff the right way, executing with the right details, having the right fundamentals? That's something that we chase every day.
Jalen Hurts, Brandon Graham, and of course their head coach Nick Sirianni, who actually didn't want to focus solely on this win. He wanted to remember his roots a little bit, and that means remembering the guy who gave him the opportunity to coach in Philadelphia.
I'm emotional because I love Frank Reich. I really do, and he's one of the best damn football coaches I've ever been around. So yeah, I was hoping that him and I would be able to coach against each other. You don't want to know what I think of if he should be here or not, but because you guys can probably imagine what I really think. Spent a lot of time here. One of my children was born here, and it was sweet to come here, especially with what happened in this organization in the last couple of weeks, and get the win. The win. We live in Indianapolis with a win.
A passionate Nick Sirianni. And I just have to say how much I appreciate that he did that. The news cycle moves so quickly in the NFL, just like it does outside of the sports world. 12 hours and the headlines change. People move on. They forget. Not Nick Sirianni. Frank Reich gave him the chance. He would not have the head coaching job in Philadelphia if not for Frank Reich. And he knows that. And he's not willing to let it go. He's not going to let it go. It's not meant as disrespect to Jeff Saturday, only that he believes, and I think a lot of people do believe, that Frank Reich was the fall guy in this situation. Maybe Frank's happy. Maybe he lands on his feet. I wouldn't be surprised. But there's a lot of people who are not letting this go. Meanwhile, Jeff Saturday now 1-1 as the interim head coach of the Colts.
Tough one, right? We had everything in front of us. We didn't execute enough to get the win. Disappointing loss, obviously. Just too many mistakes. I mean, too many penalties, too many negative plays. Defense was playing good. I thought they were playing, you know, good enough to win. So I thought any points were good points. But again, the negative plays that set us back into the field goals, you know, those, I mean, it takes you out of any kind of aggressive mindset.
Welcome to the NFL, Jeff Saturday. Actually, he knows better than anyone that this is how it goes week in to week out. So AFC South still belongs to the Tennessee Titans. They're the only team above 500 in that division. The Colts are in second at 4-6-1. Sorry. Okay. NFC East. Eagles move to 9-1. They come off that loss against the Commanders in which they were completely overwhelmed. They right the ship. So they're at 9-1. Cowboys and Giants two games back. The Commanders also above 500. They took a can of you-know-what to Houston with them. So that entire division is above 500, as is the entire AFC East. This is so strange. It's like we're in the Twilight Zone. One of the reasons why I love the NFL, it's never the same. Week to week, month to month, year to year. Coming up, the Bills. They get out of the snowpocalypse in Orchard Park in Western New York. They make it to Detroit. It'll be their second game in Detroit in the span of 5 days. But this one was special. This one was different. And then also, the last two games we haven't talked about yet. Super Bowl champions. Oh, gosh, it is going from bad to worse. And Justin Fields, off to the races yet again.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details.
Josh is under center, takes a snap, hands it off. Devin Singletary cuts right, goes back left, into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! A 5-yard touchdown run by Motor.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a bit of a slow start for the Buffalo Bills in Detroit hosting the Cleveland Browns. I know it sounds very convoluted, but once they got going, once they took the lead, that second touchdown drive midway through the third quarter was really the capper. Devin Singletary, 5 yards, put them up by 2 scores, and the Bills never looked back. They tacked on a few more field goals in the final quarter, and they stay in front even as the Browns tack on a pair of touchdowns themselves. No Buffalo turnovers, and that was huge for Josh Allen. They were only 3 of 11 on third down, but I can understand after what they went through the last couple of days. It took friends, it took neighbors, it took people helping them to get out of their homes, to get to the facility, to get on the team plane, to make it to Detroit. It was a crazy week, and so you take any kind of win that snaps your 2-game losing skid.
Credit to both fans, I guess, for getting up here, but obviously Bills Mafia, you know, for what they were going through, too. I mean, they were probably digging themselves out of snow so they can drive 4.5 hours to get here. So we really appreciate our fan base, and I can honestly say we couldn't have done it without them this week. It took a lot of moving hands and moving parts.
It's a weird week, but it kind of felt like a bowl game here. We had a home crowd, you know, here. The crowd was loud. Everybody was into it. It was fun, and we'd just be right back here next week. So it's a crazy week, but it feels good.
Amazing to even get out here, right, with all the team effort, you know, the teamwork that went into, the players digging out, the players, you know, we were calling our support team, our development team was calling them and saying, hey, what's your situation? Can you get out of your house? And the players never once said, I can't do it. They just said, what do I need to do? And I think that says a lot about them.
So the Bills are able to survive, and if you haven't seen our show Twitter, one gentleman sent us multiple photos, photo arrays actually, of the snowpocalypse in Western New York. So after hours, CBS on Twitter, if you have photos that you want to send us, several feet of snow from the lake effect, and the storm that went through. I know there are parts of the country who are dealing with crazy snow in November already. Please be safe. And yes, Bills Mafia knows what to do with snow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports
Bills
Radio.
Bills Mafia, what's good?
A couple of you have mentioned that the duo of Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp is obviously very productive. A Triple Crown winner, last year's Super Bowl champions, a Super Bowl MVP. But with Kupp out, that's not the case. And the Rams are hurting. Yes, Matthew Stafford had a pair of touchdown passes yesterday before he left the game. He had a hard hit with his head on the turf, and then took a pretty physical sack. And even though he didn't have a concussion, at last word, they did want to check him out because he had just returned from concussion protocol. So Matthew Stafford didn't even last the entire game. And the Rams just don't have enough firepower, not even against the Saints, who decide to stick with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback this week.
Out of the shotgun, right in the middle of the field. David Johnson to Dalton's right. Saints under pressure. Dalton throws it to the middle of the field, looking for Olave, who makes the catch. And see you later, bye. Chris Olave with the touchdown. That's how you go from second and 23 to a touchdown. 53 yards.
Once the floodgates opened up, 3 scores to start the second half by the Saints. Jarvis Landry hauls in his first TD with New Orleans. And then Chris Olave, another huge game for him. 53-yard grab there. He goes over 100 yards with the touchdown, as you hear with Mike Haas on Saints radio. So Taysom Hill, he's a big part of the offense, but they ultimately decide to stick with Andy Dalton as quarterback, and he really validated this. And the fact that they get this huge win to move to 4-7 in a weaker South division, yeah.
We're well aware of where we're at in the season, our record, and everything else. But look, I think we approach every week with the same mentality. And, you know, I think this week there may have been a more added emphasis on going out to win the football game, right? Like, what do we have to lose? So let's call everything we've got on this call sheet. Let's push the ball down the field. And I would say that maybe that was emphasized a little bit more than in weeks past.
Hell of a win for us, you know, against, you know, a team that's a defending Super Bowl champion. So proud of the way our guys played. I really thought offensively, I thought we played really well in the game. You know, specifically there in the second half for us to be able to move the ball like we did. I mean, coming out in the second half to start the second half and getting the touchdown, it was a huge momentum boost for us. So yeah, happy to get the win and ready to get back to work.
He sounds fired up. As for the Rams, they're now 3-7, even in a down year for the NFC West, and this is their first game without Cooper Kupp.
There were some chances, for us to be able to do some things or get us back in that game. And, you know, even on the one touchdown they had to Olave, Aaron does a great job of winning quickly. And, you know, Dalton gets it out and, you know, we're just not right in the position on the back end. But you don't take away credit from those guys. And, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, the NFC South is still wide open. Remember, the Buccaneers have won a couple of games in a row, but they're just at 5-5. Falcons are now at 5-6 after they survive the Chicago Bears. And the turning point comes late in the second quarter. This was something we have not seen in the NFL this season.
Cordero Patterson out of the end zone. He'll hit the 20, 25. Here goes CP. 35, 40. Patterson on his way. 30. He's got the 20, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. Holy smokes.
There's the record.
For the ninth time in his career, Cordero Patterson has returned a kick for a touchdown, and three of them of the nine have come against the Chicago Bears.
I was telling some guys on the sideline, I was like, who is this guy? Because I saw he was like 10 yards back when he caught up on me. I was like, this little freaker is fast, man. But I'm glad he didn't get me, man. You know, he did a good job trying to get me.
It was a huge play. You know, obviously, the way the game had gone, they'd stolen possession. You know, Avery's a huge part of this team. And guys fight for extra yards. We got to be smart, know when the journey's over. Yeah, I mean, he was trying to get extra yards. We got to be smarter there. They were able to get the ball back. Obviously, CP, he cut back, had a big run. They made an effort play. The ball came out, and they capitalized. And so that game could have gone another way, but it says a lot about our guys. And they gave the opportunity. We felt close a week ago on some returns. And big-time play by the return unit by CP.
Arthur Smith raving about Cordero Patterson, who now has 9 career kickoff returns for touchdowns. First one this season. And so that means he is the NFL's all-time leader. Pretty amazing, right? Well, this game wasn't over. A pair of second-half touchdowns. They go back and forth. They keep this tight. Marcus Mariota, but then David Montgomery. It's Younghoe Koo with a 53-yard kick inside of 2 minutes that gives the Falcons a 3-point edge. And so there's still plenty of time and opportunity for Justin Fields and the Bears.
Straight drop. Fields wants to throw in the pocket back across the middle, intercepted. He was trying to get Montgomery, and Jaylen Hawkins has come up with the pick.
So it's an interception for the Falcons defense. Wes Durham with the calls on Falcons radio. And it was a high pass. I watched it. It was over the head of his receiver. It was intercepted by Jaylen Hawkins with just over a minute to go. And so the Bears continue to play better. They do. And we're seeing more yards from Justin Fields with his legs. But they're just not translating into wins. Meanwhile, he has a banged up shoulder after this game.
They're still looking in further detail.
Justin, how did you injure that? Was that on the side?
Yeah, it was the first play of the last drive.
Can you walk us through what happened?
I don't even know what happened, to be honest with you. I think I just landed on it or something like that. So, yeah, it was just hurting after that.
Prior to that, there were times it looked like you were stretching out your hamstring?
Yeah, I was cramping pretty much the whole fourth quarter, so just fighting through cramps and stuff like that.
So Justin Fields, he's feeling it, but he definitely has been unleashed by that Bears offense. They just haven't been able to come up with the W's to go along. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Today is the day. The U.S. men's national team, soccer, the other football, back on the grandest stage in sports, the World Cup. They will be taking on Wales at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Manager Greg Berhalter is giving us keys to the match.
I think there's a couple different layers to it. There's the overall game plan. There's plan B. Then there's game scenarios, right? Are we up a goal, down a goal, up a man, down a man? You know, running through all those scenarios. And then there's the final details of the intricacies and how Wales plays and what we're looking to do. So all that stuff we're running through. And it's just about being thorough and preparing the group.
I'm so nervous. I don't get nervous for sports anymore, but I'm nervous about Team USA. It's been 8 years, and this is the youngest team in the World Cup field. I want them to play well. I don't get invested very often in sports because I've got to be objective for the show. But, man, I can feel it in my stomach. And I am waking up. Not much gets me up out of bed early on a Monday after an NFL Sunday. But I'm waking up to watch the game. It's on Big Fox, so Fox Network, coming up at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. We'll be back tonight to talk about it, plus Monday Night Football. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.com for more details.